him say something.
Good morning. It is a good morning, yeah? Yeah. Thanks for fighting the lion in the snow today. That is a scripture. Find it. But,
Samuel. Verse Samuel.
Lion in the snow, fighting a lion in it. I mean, it was big enough that the Lord put it in his word that somebody took the time to fight with a lion in the snow. We're going to be in Hebrews, but, you know, first let's, since it's just us here, who cares, right? How long we go today. We're in Hebrews, but I want to turn to... You know what I might do? I might pull that up later. Let's just turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We left off 2 weeks ago in verses 13 and 14. And it never hurts to be reminded of the things that we've read and heard and hopefully pondered in our hearts, and what the author of Hebrews was instructing those converts at that time that came out of Judaism and became Christians. He was telling them there in verse 13, let's leave the three R's, the rules, the regulations, the rituals. I've said this over and over. It's not a negative statement towards religion, although in a sense it is. But he's saying stop. Stop thinking that your life is dependent upon or our favor with God comes from rules and rituals. And he tells everybody in there, let's go unto Jesus. And the word of God says that no man comes to the Father except through the Son. There's no, well, I believe in God, but I'm not so sure about Jesus. This is a bundle, if you would, with today's State Farm's terminologies. You know, it's the Father, it's the Son, and it's the Holy Spirit. There is no discount offered if you just have one. So be careful in our own lives and when we witness to others that this is so necessary. Bless you, Ma, that we need to go outside of the camp, outside of this religious setting, unto Jesus and bear his reproach. I've been thinking on that. I mean, we're willing to have God forgive all of our stuff and help me when I mess up and forgive me for this. And it comes so readily. But I've been asking myself, if we were to be persecuted the way that people right now are being persecuted, would we be willing to bear that reproach? Just a question, maybe, as you reread these parts and see where God's bringing you. 14, why should we do that? Why should I bear God's reproach, Christ's reproach? Why should I do that? Well, first, to manifest his love. I mean, when people see that, when they see our hearts and our attitudes and the love that we should be displaying, we just should do it. But the biggest reason is in 14, for here we have no continuing city, or a permanent city is what that, but we seek one to come. Heaven. We're going to heaven. This is not my home. Why do I dig myself in so hard here? It's, you know, it's all right to take care of your house, your car, your body, all this stuff, but this is not our home. This stuff can be taken away in an instant. And if we don't think, I mean, we're going to be talking about gratitude today. Taken away in an instant. Think of the people in Israel, the Ukraine. Let's even put the Russians and the rest in Gaza with the Palestinians in there. There are people that are completely innocent of what's going on. Amen. That could be us at any moment. Am I being thankful for that? Am I realizing, wow, this is not my home? We kind of know that. I jokingly say, have I told anybody that I'm going to heaven? You know, have you told anybody you're going to heaven? And have you told anybody why you're going to heaven? And the assurity that we have of that, and that we can open this book and just show them this too can be your destiny. This could be your future. So here's what, I don't want to keep saying, my feeling, Paul, there's so much of Pauline writing in here, but you can decide who you want to have it say. The author just doesn't sound right to me. Give credit where credit is due. The Holy Spirit says, this is not our home. So today's text, if we're in Christ, we're going to see some instruction on our Christian behavior. He kind of makes this little jump from who we are and where we should be. He kind of gives us a little bit of instruction. This is not all of the instruction available to us in our behavior. But I thought it very interesting that he would put this in here first and foremost in verse 15 that we're going to be in how we should conduct our lives as Christians in a world that's not our home and one that we're going to be leaving very soon. And what we should be doing in the interim. So we read 13, 14. Let's just look at 15, 16 and see what God's got for us. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's the only thing I want to focus on today. But I thought it interesting, and keep this in mind, in 16. But don't forget, but to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, good word that we're going to be looking at, God is well pleased. So what I'm going to say today is not our stopping point. This is just a springboard. It's a spot we take off as Christians. And it doesn't matter, in a sense, where we've been, what we've done, when we look at verse 15, but it will matter after today, because God will hold each and every one of us responsible for those things that we've heard, those things that we've seen, TV, whatnot, those things that we've read in here. There will be no excuse, it says, for man. Well, gee, I was real busy. You know, didn't you realize, I'm moving. I have a lot of stuff. I got stomped by a moose. There's no excuses when we stand at that throne. And God lately has been telling me for the time that I've got here, he's made me a watchman, and I'm supposed to watch, and I'm supposed to say what I see. What a connection between our eyes and our ears. This hurts because I don't have it. You know, to stand here and to start to tell people what to do, I better be doing it first in my life. And if I'm not doing it first in my life, I have no right to stand here and bloviate to everybody else how you should live your life. So I guess today, with verse 15, I'm confessing, but that's part of the Greek word in here, so it's okay. I don't have this down. But he has been hammering me all this week that this is where my heart, my mind, my mouth needs to be. Verse 15, let's hear it again. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Father God, help us. Holy Spirit, we are so willing at times when we hear things, but this flesh, as strong as we think it is, it's weak to do those things that you desire of us, Father. So help us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to hear what it is that you're saying today, that we might take this in our lives first and foremost, Father, and try to allow you to work this in us and through us, so that when we do speak to anyone, Father, we might not be a castaway ourselves. And we thank you in Jesus' name. I don't want to oversimplify verse 15, but this needs to be in our daily behavior patterns, what we just heard. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, daily. I don't know what some of your translations say. This is our behavior as Christians. So, like I said, if we start here, if my head and my heart and my mouth are following this, All the other good works and the communications that we're supposed to be doing, those I think kind of come naturally. But when I don't have this right in my head and in my heart and in my mouth, let's not start thinking that we can walk out the doors and, oh, I'm going to do a good work today. Doesn't work like that. Those good works will come into our lives when we do exactly what Paul is telling us to do. Give that sacrifice of praise to God continually. What is your, does anybody have daily or what? Continually means not when it's convenient, not when everything's going good and the check is in the mail. This talks about at every single speech that comes out of my, somehow praise God for what's going on. So he's, again, like I said, he's been working on me on this, and it becomes the, he says it's the fruit of our lips. This is like Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. If I love God, I'm producing that fruit. That fruit is the fruit of my lips also, not just my good works, not, you know, going to Bible studies, all these things are good, but I need to start, you know, right at ground zero every single day, praising God, being thankful. For not only for my salvation, but everything else that's in our lives. And if I'm in a situation where that's maybe not as good as I'd like it, still praise Him, still thank Him, still have that gratitude that this is not all that there is. This is not our home. And sometimes that gets away from us. So, you know, maybe it doesn't get away from us, but we allow the flesh, we allow the world and circumstance to come in, change my heart, change my thoughts a little bit in that circumstance, and out it comes. It's not pleasing. It's not good fruit. I don't know about you, but, you know, I just started to learn kiwis. They're not bad. I mean, here's this hairy little fruit, and people are biting into it. But it's a fruit, and it's not too bad. The fruit of our lips, in all, even if it looks bad, like that kiwi, Pastor, just try it. You know, we'll peel that brown stuff. Oh, get that off of there. The fruit of our lips, even though things don't look good, to God, if it's done continually, if it's done in His, in Jesus' name, brings that glory to God. It's a good fruit. So read Galatians 5. I won't go there. I'm kind of going off a little bit. But that fruit of our lips is so important before we walk out of the door of our house every morning, that we're ready in our hearts to be so thankful for God for what He's done. Anybody want to be over in the Ukraine right now? I don't. Anybody want to be in Israel right now? And we better pray for Israel. Tom and I were talking about this. I think it was you and I. We need to stand with Israel. We need to pray every single day for the peace of Jerusalem, not for all the other garbage, not for a worldly thing that's going to pass away. He's expecting the fruit of my lips to be asking Him for peace, for safety, for mercy, for all those things that are going on, because when we turn away from Israel, get ready. We've seen nothing up to that point. My daily behavior, Doug, not so much of giving this and giving that and doing this and doing that and going out and knocking on doors, or, you know, how many, well, gee, I'm not a missionary. I don't teach the Bible study. I don't play in the worship team. We feel like we're less of a Christian. And how many of us really want to go out and get on the mission field? I'm begging. I don't want to go to Maui anymore because it's not as comfortable, but Lahaina's not bad. You know, it could be all right once it's done, or maybe I go to Kihei. How many of us feel like I should be doing something else in my Christianity? I'm not like this one. I'm not like that one. Be like this one. I think God would want every one of us to be praising Him and glorifying Him on a daily basis, rather than going out and doing some kind of work somewhere where, in a sense, I'm getting a little bit of the glory. And that's what I'm reading out of this verse 15. Sacrifice. The author called this a sacrifice. Why did he call it a sacrifice of praise? because it's not always easy to praise God, is it? In all things, as I hope I can get to today. A sacrifice of praise, first thing. And how should that be done? Not when everything's good, like I said. It should be continually. It should be daily. At times, I think it almost feels impossible to give that praise. I don't know about you and your circumstance, but I feel that's why the Holy Spirit called it a sacrifice. Something's got to die for a sacrifice. Something's got to be given up for a sacrifice. And it's not always easy at times, like I was saying. It feels impossible to praise God in a circumstance or a situation. I've had it said to me. I've said it to others. We're in the middle. You know, let me pray. Go ahead. Because you're just so overwhelmed with the situation. But God is saying, right there is where I, oh, it's easy when Pat's going to make me, you know, panko crusted spam and things. Oh, man, that's easy to praise God, you know. But when she says, let's eat a kiwi this afternoon, that's sacrifice means it has to cost me something. It already cost him so that these lips can do it. And that's all he's really asking of Doug Gibney right now. Just praise me continually. The things that I've done to you, Doug. I know it's a sacrifice. I don't feel sometimes like thanking God. It's hard. Some of you understand, and you know, I bring up our situation. How do you praise God for losing a child? You know how? You say, thank you, God, because I didn't lose her. And I know exactly where she is. And I know I'm going to see her real soon. And I'm going to see Hatch. And I'm not going to be inundated with the stink of roses one day because they cause my sinuses to clog up. Did somebody do this? You know. But thank you for the beauty of these roses and these lilies, Lord. Anyhow, see, I'm being foolish right now, but this is what God, this is what the Holy Spirit, I think, is trying to tell us. How many times are you and I in a trap? Well, look at that idiot, you idiot. You moron, you got it where you want it now. You know, when they see somebody slide off the road, something bothers us, and we're right away, we're crucifying that person. We're just taking them apart. God doesn't want that. And even when we do that in our humanness, what God is saying now at that point, in the bad, in the ugly, stop. Just stop and say, forgive me, Father. Thank you for all the other good stuff that I have in my life right now. Psalm 50, turn to that. Anybody been reading the Psalms lately? I know Craig has. Psalm 50. Verse 14, 15. I hate just grabbing little pieces out. You read the rest of it in your spare time. But to be thankful, to be grateful. And, you know, I feel, I'll probably say it again, but I feel that we're becoming a nation and we're becoming a people who have lost gratitude. Now, nation and people that are unsaved and everything, they got nothing to be thankful for out there. Nothing. Snow, if you're a skier, that's as good as it's going to get. Good weather, if you're a hiker, that's it. If your mind is bars and restaurants, find a good one. But we're a nation that is not showing gratitude anymore. We're a people that are always complaining. I hear husbands complaining about wives. I hear wives complaining about husbands. I hear people with neither one ask, I'd like to have a bad wife to complain about, you know. These are things that we deal with weekly. My car stinks. My house is terrible. My body, it's not what I... Where's the gratitude? What happened to gratitude? And I feel that's what he was saying in 15. So if you're in Psalm 50 right now, we're supposed to be doing this. And this isn't just Doug's idea. Here's the Spirit of God saying in 14, offer unto God thanksgiving, praise. And praise is more than what we read off the wall here. Heaven forbid that the computer system goes down one day. We've been singing these songs for 40 years here, and we're lost without the words. Praise is much more than just words. Worship is much more than singing. It's my innermost being bringing that fruit out of my mouth to God, glorifying him. And so he's saying, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay your vows unto the Most High. What's your vow? I won't keep getting into this. What's your vow? That's all God's asking. I was a surfer, you know, I'm not bragging or nothing, and paddle, remember, it was terrible storm surf, probably 14-foot waves. I got sucked out in a full wetsuit about a mile, and I thought, I am going to die. Anybody ever did a rip, Craig has, and try to get yourself back in when all you're doing is going backwards every time you pull an arm out of the water? Well, I was a full heathen at that time, and when I just got, if you get me back to the shore, I'll be yours. I'll do anything you ever want. I'll never leave. I mean, I was crying out to him, and I got back to the shoreline, and the guys were sitting there, hey, way to go, Gib, you made it. Yeah, I know, and I forgot. That was a vow I made, even though I wasn't saved. When you vow a vow unto God, be sure you keep it, because it'll be sin unto you, is what the word says. Pay your vow. You know what your vow was. I know what mine was. And I know the ones that I've made in my cries and pleas. If he went along with my plan, what I'd do. And I think maybe some of you are right there. You haven't seen him as of yet fulfill your plan for your life, but he's making that possible. And I think when we start to praise him, when we start to give him that thanksgiving, it might not change the circumstance, but it's going to change me. And that attitude of gratitude is going to start to grow in our lives. After we do that, see, it's almost like you go up to a pot machine and push the button and kick it. No, you put your 50 cents in, and then when it doesn't come out, you push it and kick it and everything else. There's a pattern. So God's saying, praise me first. Give me some thanksgiving here and pay your vows, Doug. And then call on me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver you, and you will glorify me. Do you see what the fruit of our lips is doing? It might not change things. He's going to deliver us, but we're going to be giving him that glory. Verse 23, I'll skip ahead. Why? Because whosoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation or lifestyle aright will I show the salvation of God. I want to see that salvation, not only just in heaven, and I feel that what he's saying is you're going to see it right here. You're going to see a result of this attitude of gratitude, of this thanksgiving, of this praise for what I have, all my benefits that he's given to me. For the things that he's done. Thank you. That doesn't always mean I'm grateful, does it? Thank you. Sometimes we even say thank you as a reply when somebody's getting on you, right? I don't want to keep using Tom and my wife, you know. But somebody has said something that's kind of negative to you, and you go, oh, thank you. But inside here and inside here, thank you is not always gratitude. And I think that's what God is trying to develop. There's a difference of thanksgiving, biblically, spiritually. Thanksgiving, gratitude, it's something that exceeds this human ability of saying thank you in the toughest of times. But when we say it to him, it does have a result. If it's only that God gets the glory, is that enough for my gratitude that my Lord, my Savior, died on that cross for Doug Gibney and his sins? Is that enough for me to glorify this everlasting God? I hope that it will be. Gratefulness, blessings in my life, in all areas, big, small, good, bad. When I praise God and I'm grateful for what I have, it becomes fruit in my life. My life. It might not affect anybody else. You might never get a medal for it. But in your life, my life, it becomes fruit. It becomes the fruit of the Spirit. And when that is lived continually, as 15 said, continually, it does something to me. Something changes. Again, it might not change your situation or your circumstance, but my outlook, my attitude, the bitterness that exists in every one of us seems to dissipate a little bit when I'm praising my Lord. And that's something that we should do. Can blessings and cursings proceed from the same mouth? The Lord says no. Not as grateful as I should be. I read something. I'll bring it to a close here. I read something this week. Gratitude. Expressing thanks to God in my speech, in my actions, in my thoughts, for his grace and kindness, and for everything, everything in my life. Gratitude, we always think, wow, you know, it's because you just, you gave me something. Some of us are real grateful for that, aren't we? We have gratitude towards that. Oh, I heard you said something nice about me this week. Thank you so much, you know. Gratitude exceeds that. Jack Hayford, I don't know if any of you, Jack Hayford is an old preacher that used to be on TV way back. I don't agree with everything that Jack has said, but I don't agree with everything I say. Jack Hayford talked about gratitude, which we're talking about here, and it's the Greek word thusia. Gratitude, praise, thanksgiving often requires that we kill our pride. That sounds pretty harsh. That we kill our pride, kill our fears, our laziness, our anger, and anything else that demands, diminishes, or interferes with my worship of my Lord. Ouch. I'll read it again. What do you think? Praise, thanksgiving, and gratitude often requires that we kill our pride, fears, laziness, anger, and anything else that diminishes and interferes with my worship of my Lord. Wow. So I guess, break it down. And I know that, I don't know about you guys, you've heard it. Count your many blessings. See, we health stinks, doesn't it? What's happening to these bodies in this life? Finances, when they're completely gone, terrible. Circumstance, you might be losing your house. Your car might blow up. You keep putting things to your life, what's there. In those circumstances, our grandmother, Ted and myself, she used to walk around the house. She said a lot of things. It's a great life if you don't weaken. These are words of wisdom from our elders, people with gray hair. And we never understood that, Teddy and I and Eileen, my sister. It's a great life if you don't weaken. And she'd just scurry down the hallway and off she'd go. She also used to tell us when we'd be complaining about our father and the way that he disciplined us or how we got gypped on something, she'd walk over and say, count your many blessings. Count them one by one. Teddy and I would say, oh, thanks, Nan. What the heck is she? Blessings? I'm getting put down. I can't go out for the next week. I can't do this. I'm supposed to count my many blessings one by one. I think the wisdom in the one by one is we can say, oh, we're saved and we're going to heaven. Boom. And that like encompasses everything. But when I count my many blessings one by one, I have to recall, what has he done for me? What has he done for me? And there's more than just one. Count your many blessings. So I went on a search this week, and I try to find, where does that come from? I try to find it in here. It's in Psalm 103. I found that. Maybe if you give me another minute after this, I'll go there. But it comes from a hymn from 1897, excuse me, by Oatman and Excel. There's these two guys who wrote it, I guess. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. But let one bad thing come into your life this week and mine, and I guarantee we'll be kicking and screaming and complaining more than just stopping, closing my eyes and saying, thank you for my life. Thank you that I have a roof over my head, even if it's windy and gappy and snow blows in. It's worse out there on the street. I watched a homeless guy today pick up his wife in a wheelchair and carry her into the tent with a heat buddy after that in the tent. Can you imagine living out in that? Some of you can. Some of us know that. Can you imagine being out there in a tent today with a heat buddy and that's all you got? Wah, wah, wah. Not Doug. I'll come to the church and I'll lay on the floor here. Say, you know, I got a place to go. Gratitude. Gratitude is what God is asking of us. What do I have to be grateful for today? I'm going to close with this, and I'll let you read the rest of it. You know what? I want to read it out of yours, can I?
Yeah.
Or do you already give me one? I'm taking all your Bibles. And forgive me if I'm...
Here, take it. You want this one?
Sure. What have I got to be grateful for? Probably a whole lot more than we realize, but I found that count your many blessings in a search this week, and it led me to Psalm 103. And I realized he's got all this stuff just to remind me already here when I don't think I should be so grateful. When what do I have to express gratitude? Listen to this. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being, praise his holy name. That's what verse 15 is talking about. Continually, the fruit of my lips, glorify God no matter what. And forget not all his benefits. Uh-oh, wait a minute. That guy that just cut me off, I forgot all the benefits. The guy cut me off, that means I got a car. That means I'm running down the road. I'm not broke down someplace. Don't forget all of his benefits. When the heater goes out in the back, don't complain. Call Brandon and he'll come and fix it for us. But we got another section right here that we can be warm in. Too warm at times. He forgives all your sins and he heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desire with good things so that your mouth is renewed. So that your youth, hey, that was a Freudian slip, so that your youth is renewed like the, I'm excited today about God tipping me off to start being thankful and stop all of the other stuff that I'm worried about and complaining about. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. What do I got? The Lord's compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Hokey moly. How about that one? Can you imagine, like right now, if he said, you know, I'm going to recompense what you said, did, or whatever else is, but boom, I'd be on the floor right now. I have nothing to be grateful for. I'm grateful for that right there. Where am I? probably 12, for as far as the east is from the west, so far as he's removed our transgressions from us, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we're formed. He remembers that we're just dust. As for man, his days are like grass. Continue to read it. What do I have to be grateful for? That's only like 15 verses maybe. There's a whole list that every day I could sit there and remember where I was in that situation when God pulled me out of it, and just thank him. And watch what it does to our hearts. It's got to change my heart, because I don't know about you. I've sensed a hardness first and foremost in myself. I've sensed a hardness in the people that are around me for the situations that we're in. And I don't want that anymore. I want to change that. I don't want to walk around like a happy idiot, just everything's beautiful, you know? Because it's not all beautiful. But I want to be grateful, because I feel that's what he told me first here, before I went on to my good works and paying pastors and obeying pastors in here. And then you read all the other works, in a sense, that he would desire his children to do. What he asked me, and I hope you hear it, he's asking you to have an attitude of gratitude starting today. And as soon as those gripes come in, stop them. We can stop it. I mean, look, he's given us two lips, shed a tear. We can stop griping, can't we? And start being thankful. I'm not going to hell. I know that. I know that. I know that. I know I'm going to heaven because God told me. How do you know? Jesus loves me. This I know, because the Bible tells me so. Little kid, well, such is the kingdom of God. Stop, 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 stop is all I keep hearing God saying in my ears. The griping, the complaining, the moaning. If he took from us what's been taken from myriads of others, we would be most miserable. Let's focus on how grateful this week, at least. Try it. Just watch ourselves too. I can't wait for you to correct me when that next moron cuts me off. And I'm sorry for being so human, but that's us, isn't it? That's us. Griping about each other. The weirdnesses of each and of every one of us are characteristics. Stop it. Our families, even if they're going crazy, we still got them. Still got them. Gratitude should be our attitude. Amen. 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 I'm done. Let's worship.
I like that. Gratitude should be our attitude.
The attitude of gratitude.
Thank you.